Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This week, what else is new? Overreaching, data breaching, the latest and greatest. Meta is getting rid of their encrypted messaging. iPhone exploits causing people problems. And of course, Len, the headline story, Canada introducing Bill C-22. They want your metadata and they want it for a year. But first, the intro.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Okay, buddy. Well, I am sick. I'm getting over a cold. My daughter is fully over it. And so, as you know, as someone with a young child, the hardest thing about having a sick kid is when it takes them 72 hours to get over it and you're still sort of running on fumes for like a week following their recovery. That's where I am now. So that's how I'm doing. How are you doing?
Healthy.
How nice for you.
This is why
glad to hear that.
I live in the basement. I do not leave whatsoever. I haven't seen the light of day in 8 months. So hence, I do not get sick. So I'm great. I'm sorry to hear that you're sick.
Glad to hear that. No, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. But it'll take some time. Anyway, let's not waste time. Speaking of that, last week's quote, few men have virtue to withstand the highest bidder. That was from George Washington. Ray got it right. Shout out to you, Ray. Congratulations. This week's quote, you're often most creative when you're the least productive. If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. Don't forget, you can only look at your child's finger painting canvases for the answer. No Googling, no searching. And if you get it right first, you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. So
be careful what you say, Joey.
Bill C-22.
Yeah. Make sure whatever you say is never documented anywhere online. Either your phone
I can't believe that this isn't like, it's not that I can't believe this is ongoing. I think what I can't believe is that no one seems to care about this in the mainstream. It's very sparsely covered. Is it because there's a lack of understanding or because people don't really understand that their data is like that can we use against them? Like what is the gap here? I don't know, but I mean, we'll talk about it. Maybe give me the breakdown. We'll go from there.
I don't do anything wrong because I don't do anything wrong. It looks like nothing is going to happen to me, right? That's going to be what people say about this.
Nothing to hide, nothing to worry about.
No, until they start digging and I realize something you said in passing is just potentially deemed to be off color. And what's off color today or what is kosher today may not be off color tomorrow. Like we'll see what happens. But this Lawful Access Act, right? This is kind of a Bill C-2 type deal.
Very close. China. Yeah.
Right. And we got the public safety minister, Gary, whatever. Yeah. Gary.
I can't say his last name. Ashman, yeah, Gary, J or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they say they need this lawful.
I wish I'm not making fun of his last name. I just can't say it. Okay. Gary. Sorry. Minister Gary. Yeah, I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Yeah. And I believe it's Tamil, and generally a Tamil last name is very challenging.
Can't do it. We're not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they say the government, they need this act to pass, and there's a reason for that because it could help them fight crimes like terrorism and AI-driven fraud. AI-driven fraud is becoming more prevalent. Terrorism, well, you can make a determination if it's going up or down. But they say this could be used, not they, people that are looking at this and saying, what the heck is it? Could be a permanent surveillance system as a result of this. So there's two parts to this. The part one amends the criminal code. And this one, you know, may not rub a lot of people the wrong way because it deals with how people get subscriber information, like your name, your phone number, your addresses, and so forth from telecoms.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally they got to go to the police, got to go to the judges. And, you know, this is normally without a warrant to get information, right? It's generally under reasonable suspicion. And it's all they get is that information. But if they want to go further, like getting the browser history, emails, and so forth, well, then it's going to be the companies. Certain companies, they're going to be identified as core providers, like the major telecom or satellite companies. And they have to build and maintain some capabilities to track users' identity, their locations, all types of stuff that could be able to assist authorities in investigation. And this is the part is interesting because that is going to be needed with a just the minister, Gary, issue a ministerial order, and they get this information straight from the telecoms. And they're going to have to provide this information, all this, to the authorities. And whatever. Beyond that, this information is just not there for a short period of time. They got to keep it in their archives for a period of 1 year. So in a period of 1 year, if somehow they determine that you need to be investigated, they do some investigation, they get all this information, your name, your address, your telephone number, stuff like what you've done online, crap like that, all for the last year, right? We've seen what happened 4 years ago. Yeah, it was 4 years ago, I think it was, when there was a protest in Ottawa, and the government, as per two courts, the third court still has to decide.
Yeah.
They did this unlawfully. They invoked the Emergencies Act unlawfully. Apparently, they're going to be appealing that to the Supreme Court, and we'll see what they say over there. But anyways, you have a digital trail that they have to maintain, and this information could be easily given up to the authorities anytime, anywhere. They just need reasonable searches to do, like, just more and more surveillance, more and more. You got to be careful what you say, who you interact with. And I've said this, I believe, on a previous Axis of Easy show. The weak link is just that one chain that's weakest, right? And it doesn't have to be your device. It could be whoever you communicate with.
Yeah.
If their device, if they screw up, if they click on the wrong link, if they do something silly with their phone to make their phone compromised, who knows, man? Stuff could come in, and then you're associated by them, guilty by association. Forget about it. This is scary stuff.
Let's make a list of the things that are not being captured by law enforcement in Canada today. Indian sex traffickers coming across the border as migrants, TFWs, asylum seekers, not being captured. Scamming in real estate, not being captured. Chinese mafia operations, not being captured. Chinese police stations operating on Canadian soil, not being captured. Scams in tribal and native bands, and, you know, whatever the term is for those groups, not being captured or addressed. We can't keep anybody in jail. We can't prosecute any thieves. We can't, you know, there's a million other things we could say that I'm actually having trouble thinking of one that I'm willing to say on public air, but that list is long enough. Those are things that are obviously negatively affecting Canadian society. I mean, clearly, whether you're a guy like you or me, or whether you're a kid, or whether you're a teacher or a nurse or a firefighter, like, these things affect you. You know, they affect your community. They affect the safety of your family. They affect the safety of your children. They affect the safety of the places where you travel and live and go to the gym and buy groceries and all these things, right? You can't dispute that. I see a lot of Canadians, as my voice cracks, asking for support in those silos constantly. We see it across political lines now. We see it across provincial lines. We see it across what would typically be ideological barriers. I don't see anyone asking for this. What this is building the haystack over the course of a year and then looking for the needle afterwards. You don't know what you're looking for yet when you compile that data, when you compile that metadata, when you have all the location data, when you have all the, you know, stuff that's related to your mobile device or your browsing or whatever. This is uniquely Canadian. This isn't being done anywhere else. And by the way, you mentioned C2. They've tried this, I think, three times now. C22 is the third time. C11 was the internet regulation bill from like 2 years ago, I think, failed. C2, the border security bill, failed. And now this C22, which is a standalone bill. I don't know what I'm supposed to take from this as a Canadian, except that no one's listening to what I actually want, and they're doing things that I don't want constantly. That's not how democracy is supposed to work, but that's not a uniquely Canadian issue. Democracy is not functioning this way anywhere in the modern world, unfortunately. And I'll just note once again that as law enforcement becomes more difficult because cops are cowards in a lot of ways. What you're going to see is the average person being pursued for activities that are just not damaging at all. When you talk about things like the reason police and law enforcement won't go after gangs, for example, won't go after organized crime, won't go after, it's not because they don't have the evidence or they don't have the rationale for it. It's because they're afraid. These people can make your life miserable. They will endanger your family, right? But Joey and Len are not going to endanger your family. And so why not scour my mobile data for something that I did that you don't like and make my life difficult and you know, put some billable hours toward it behind the desk at the cop shop instead of, you know, busting down a fentanyl operation or shutting down an illegal trucking licensing scam or, you know, shutting down XYZ other obvious crime that literally fucking Helen Keller would be able to fucking pin down. Like this is, it's crazy that this is what we're doing now in this country. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. Joey,
you saw what was being talked about on X. There was a fairly high profile case, not case, the somebody recorded their interaction with the police in Canada. I don't know where it was, but they essentially knocked on this lady's door and they were saying that she did something that was against what the prime minister wanted.
She issued a threat to the prime minister on Twitter. I've seen the threat.
Did you see the threat? Because they weren't able to present.
You know, I don't think it's really a credible threat. Like I would not view that as a credible threat. But when you are a police officer and you want to do literally anything but the difficult work, everything else becomes something you have to address because you cannot risk needing to actually go into the street to do difficult work as a cop.
Right. But I want to just focus on this particular case because I'm not exactly sure what the threat is because they weren't able to present that information to her at the time when she was asking it. So it's like you say something online, the police may not, or somebody may like not like it that are in power and they could order the police to kind of strong arm you into thinking a different way or speaking a different way. Like, come on. Like,
it's crazy.
Did what she say or did what she write, was it actually a threat?
She said, I'm coming for you, Mark Carney, or something like that. I forget what the phrasing was, but I look at it and I'm like, I see crazy stuff like this on Twitter all the time. Meanwhile, by the way, the RCMP won't go to the Tumblr Ridge kid's house and lock him up. They wait till he kills a bunch of people before they lock that guy up. But they'll show up at this lady's house. They'll show up at this lady's house and give her a hard time. Like, what the fuck, man? I know I'm not supposed to swear on the show, but like, what are we talking about here? How is that the proper use of law enforcement time and resources when you have, you know, not even a month ago, law enforcement going to this kid's house or 2 months ago, whatever it was, going to this kid's house, taking weapons, noting that he's a threat of, like, there's a threat of violence here and then leaving it to happen. How is that?
Yeah, it's mental ridiculous. Health issues. You can still have your guns.
Crazy. Right? Crazy.
Still, right. So it's coming to a point where you can't speak your mind. And then who knows how much further it is. You can't even think a certain way, right? There's going to be thought control that's going to come out through all this. This is what we're coming to.
Yeah.
Why can't you speak the way you want? As long as it's, you know, clearly it's not something that's going to jeopardize somebody's life, but come on, like this is becoming a real, you know, I talk about Canada a lot in other places. I don't want to talk about it here and like what my thoughts are, but it is what it is. Act accordingly. You see which way this thing is trending. If you don't like it, if you think it's going to continue to trend this way, do something, right? Like, could you vote your way out? I don't know. I still have to listen to Polyeva on Joe Rogan to make that decision. But I think that decision's already made for me.
Yeah.
I still got to finish that episode, actually. All right. Meta. Man, I talk about them negatively a lot. I'm going to talk about them negatively even further because no longer are they going to continue to have users use end-to-end encryption for DMs starting March 8th of this year. The privacy-focused vision, where did it go? Why were they paid off? Well, they say it's because of low adoption. Right, they say because low adoption for the end-to-end encryption is the reason why they take it was optional, right?
Why is it opt-in? I don't understand that.
Well, whatever, optional or not, like I don't care about. Give people options is great. Maybe have a default on, right? I wouldn't have an idea why anybody would want to default it off. But
like Twitter defaults to on. If you have a verified account, you're defaulted to on encrypted for DMs. Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
as I'm not a verified account, I don't have any. Anyways, they were saying there was low usage for this, low adaptation for this. So whatever. And it's not, you know, this is like a trending in the wrong direction. This is the first of the major platforms that is doing this. Like, when is the next one that's going to start doing this? How long before X? I don't know if they will, but maybe there'll be pressure for them to. Because you know what? Like in the UK, in the EU, Australia, Canada, right? There's really a push to get these companies to scan their messages for, they say, for CSAM, but in other harmful content. But what could it really be? Who knows, right? Like, either way, they're going to say that they're going to have access to it. All the information is going to be stored on Meta server in a format that they could scan. They could look everything on there, what you're saying. And, well, it is what it is. So gone are the days of those encrypted chats starting May 8th. But I don't know who's using WhatsApp or who's using Instagram DM or anything else under their
umbrella. WhatsApp is not affected by this. They say
it's eventually going to.
So,
but what I'm trying to say is, I don't know who's using WhatsApp as a form of private and secure communication.
Oh my God, everybody, everyone thinks it's private.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, there's so many better options out there that you're able to audit the source code, and you don't have to have somebody like Meta that you have to trust for. My level of trust in them is at an absolute low. I don't care what this guy does, what this guy says. The reality is the company in which he leads, talking about Zuckerberg, they're just going the wrong direction. So whatever. It is what it is. I don't use their product except for Instagram, and they just post NHL 94 videos in it. Other than that, that's it. I try to use less and less of their stuff every day.
I would say there's a couple of interesting things here. One, obviously, that we didn't get a chance to talk about because it came out kind of late Friday last week, that at the same time Facebook is rolling back end-to-end encryption on Instagram, they're also being outed as being the main funder and driver of this age verification push in the United States.
Oh, yes, they certainly are.
So these two things are clearly two sides of the same coin, right? They want removal of anonymity, removal of private messaging, removal of private conversations, and ultimately more surveillance of what you say online, especially on their platforms. Make of this what you will. Like you said in the last story, you can see the way this is trending with Facebook. I don't know anyone who uses Instagram unless it's like an old account. You know, I've had my account for probably 15 or 20 years at this point. I'm not going to get rid of my Instagram account, but I'm no longer expanding my network of Instagram friends, you know, like I was when I was in my 20s. I'm no longer using it as a tool to chase tail. I'm no longer using it in any of these ways. And I think a lot of people like you are using it for like a podcast or a business, like the football modding business. I use it for that. I don't know why you would go to these platforms and use them as messaging services. Sure, if you want to like sell a product maybe, but otherwise, like, why would you go there? So many other options. And by the way, I notice now more and more that if I look at like on Telegram, you can see when people in your contacts list start a Telegram account because it tells you like, you know, Stephanie started a Telegram, Tanya started a Telegram, whatever. Like you can tell the people who you would not have put in the basket of like technologically savvy or concerned about privacy or concerned about encryption. Some of these people are all showing up on the encrypted platforms. So it's not like there's not a general awareness of this in the populace. And yet people are still messaging, you know, ostensibly anyway, private stuff on Instagram in the DMs. Like to me, that's a mistake. But me and you are not the target audience for something like this, Len. It's
no
people
way.
Who are,
absolutely
you know,
not.
Yeah.
Now, what percentage of this is Zucker's decision? Like, do you think that this is like he's pushing this or he was pushed to do this?
These guys are all under pressure. They're all, I mean, how many of the Mag 7 are not just wings of the US government? What is the number? It's zero, right? Maybe NVIDIA is not, but even them, you know, hard to say for sure. I wouldn't put good money on any of these guys not being on the phone with somebody from the administration, Republican or Democrat, at least once or twice a week. Easy.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially looking at Elon, like
Elon, definitely. No doubt about that. Yeah.
It's a powder keg ready to go off because those two guys are both type A personalities. Eventually they're going to be at odds ends again, right? Like they can't be friends forever. So that's, I can't wait for that day again, because I found it to be quite funny when he started his own political party. I'm going into the weeds here. But remember
a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to that? just disappeared.
Disappeared overnight. Like many ideas of the bipolar autist, you know, they are in and out with the same vigor and flash. You know, there's nothing you can really do about it if you're that guy.
There's no funding behind it like he got with Tesla.
Yeah.
This supply chain attack, let's talk about this. It's targeting major software repositories, including GitHub and so forth. These are ghost commits, and it's the deal with this is they're putting invisible malicious code in popular open source projects, and they're exploiting the Unicode bidirectional overrides, and they're able with that to hide backdoors with legitimate looking comments and documentation files. So it's, if you look at it with the naked eye, it looks like it's a standard code put in there, nothing wrong with it. But specific builds, they are targeting large enterprise applications. So when a developer pulls an infected package, what happens is they are able to interpret the compilers and the interpreters into doing executable commands. And with that, they're able to steal configurable stuff like AWS access keys and GitHub personal access tokens. And like I said, just because it looks invisible to the naked eye, people even are doing manual audits of this, and still a lot of them just fly under the radar. It's very hard to detect it. Furthermore, they're using automated bots to submit these ghost commits, and they're using trusted contributors by spoofing GPT signatures. So when you see that, a trusted GPT signature, you figure it's okay. You tend to let it go through, and Bob's your uncle. They're off to the races. And yeah, there you go. Found this to be pretty interesting, but I don't have really much to say besides this, except for if you're going to be using software, it's kind of like when I use my Bitcoin node. I like to use older software that's been vetted. It's been around for a few years. That's the stuff I like. I try not to stay as current as possible unless I have to get some urgent update or something along those lines. But other than that, I like to stay as old as possible. In fact, I use Debian. I'm going to go even further in the weeds. It's a distro of Linux, and it's notorious for being more stable because it uses old stuff that's been around for a long time. It's not bleeding edge. If you get a modern laptop, it doesn't run Debian, not very well. You have to do some stuff under the hood. That's the stuff I like. That's the stuff I don't suggest everybody run. If they, you know, it's better, whatever works for you, but you know what, that works for me.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. You know, the interesting thing about GitHub continues to be that it's this sort of like highest ceiling, lowest floor place to get tools these days, right? We talk a lot about some of the benefits of open source projects and open source software on this show, and even on CBP. You know, we talk about, you know, how you can get like Git repositories for hardware wallets, for example, or for software wallets. So everything is open source. You can see exactly how something was developed and what the developers had in mind when they did it, blah, blah, blah. But it's become a target over the last year, wouldn't you say? We talk about it a lot. And like in 2024, there was another big attack. I have it in my notes here. Like automated cloning and injection, a second one in 24. That was another supply chain attack. And then we had the Solana wallet one not long ago on this show that we talked about. Trust as well. Wallet? I can't remember the name of the wallet, but it's like more and more frequently that we're talking about GitHub on this program, and it's almost never in a positive light. So is it time for the average person, Len, like the low tech GitHub user, which is still higher tech literacy than probably 85% of the population? Are they due for a sort of, you know, step back from GitHub for a time, or they got to rethink their security practices? They got to rethink their sort of local cautions, or no?
I think the open source community is going to be in for a real problem in the next few years. You could, like, as you mentioned, this is,
seems like it.
So how to deal with this? I don't know. The common user, what did they do? Like, what could be done? I really don't know. You just
give the code to Claude to find out if it works.
I think a big thing is make backups, keep backups of everything and stuff that's backed up offline if possible, and never expose anything of value on your computer. We'll talk about that more in depth at a different story, but that's just if for your phone and computer, like, just don't do that. But cloudy days, man. Cloudy days.
Speak of the devil. Yeah.
It's something that targets software developers who love AI. by purchasing high-ranking Google ads for the new Claude Code command line tool. And these ads trick people into copying and pasting malicious terminal commands by hosting near-perfect clones of official documentation pages hosted on Squarespace and Cloudflare.
Funny.
Surprise, Cloudflare's still up. It's another outage. It seems like every few days it's down. And so what people are doing, they think they're following the standard instruction process, but it's anything but that. And when the user executes the provided one-line command, it's game over, because the target it targets the workstation. It potentially could open up the door to corporate networks and source code repositories, and it could go out there and steal like active tokens or do an attack by bypassing MFAs. And they note that the malicious ads are difficult to spot because they often display the legitimate Claude.ai domain in the preview. And this, you know, people, they just don't tend to see things like this. They just click on it, copy and paste, and there you go. So to protect against this, users are advised to, I can't believe they're saying this, this is common knowledge, never copy and paste terminal commands directly from a search result or third party. And they say that you should always use the official Anthropic or GitHub repositories, but you know, just be careful. Even if you're in GitHub or the official GitHub, or make sure what you're copying and pasting looks to be legitimate. If it's going to be pulling code from somewhere, is it look like the correct place to pull code? Does it look like it's the correct command to enter? If you're just going to be copying and pasting, and there's a lot of people doing this, not just vibe coders, but just people just trying to get by with making their lives easier and putting AI and plugging it into their system, you're going to get wrecked.
Do you know what's interesting? We talked about this before. So I've been trying to find, I've been trying to build out like a YouTube packaging skill/project thing in Claude and Claude Code for the last like 3 days. And I will spend some more time on it this weekend probably. And when I paste something from Git into Claude, do you know what Claude tells me first and foremost?
To do the Git pull?
No. We have to review this code before we launch it, before we run it. So give me a second. And it reviews it. And they'll say, okay, even though this looks good, we're going to get it right from the source. The source is in the text, and you got it from a different link, like a, you know, one link up or whatever, or you got it, or it looks like it came from a Reddit post or whatever. We're going to go to the source to get it. And it tells you this. So much like the guy from a few weeks ago who lost like 2 years of data because he messed up on a bit of code, presumably. I don't understand how this is happening to people still, because the bot is so tightly locked up when it comes to doing things that may jeopardize you at all. You really have to be trying to make this mistake for it to happen, or just be like hasty or whatever.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You just kind of rush through it.
Which is crazy. Like, what is it? Like, why do you care about another 10 seconds? You know, like, is your brain, are you that, you know, YouTube, is your brain YouTube short pilled so badly that you can't wait another 5 seconds for security?
It is, yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely nuts, man.
The reality, wait until they just plug in their computer directly to this and just say, just do it for me and get it done. I don't care how you do it. Just, you know.
There's stuff that it will do that you can give it that sort of set of instructions. Oh. But like at the end of the day, you still have to like give it those permissions over and over again. And we talked about how some people view it as a UI flaw, but really it's because, like, you know, what is the old saying? 50% of the people out there are dumber than average, you know, like that's the case for users of this technology as well. So you gotta, you know, you have to appreciate that Anthropic is doing that and take advantage of it, for God's sake.
Dark Sword.
Sure.
Let's talk about this. It's in a wild, it's a one click exploit kit that impacts iOS devices, and it doesn't need you to actively download something to do. It comes through what is called a watering hole attack, where people are using or going on websites, like mostly Ukraine stuff, it looks like, news outlets and government domains, and they are compromised to malicious iframes. I didn't know what an iframe was, but I did some research. It's an HTML element that acts as a window, and it embeds other things like third-party content, like YouTube videos or maps or stuff like that. So it makes the web experience that much better, but there comes a cost at that. And so when people are using Safari from vulnerable iPhones, they opens up the door to a bunch of vulnerabilities, including some zero-day attacks. And it gives the attackers the ability to do some kernel-level access on the device. And it's designed it out there to steal information like stuff in the iMessage or WhatsApp, databases, photos, location history, passwords. But also, it's trying to target people's their wallets, like their Binance or Coinbase or Ledger stuff, and to try to steal whatever that is on the phone that is able to be stolen. And people have been researching this. It looks like they've been using LLMs to generate a lot of the code for this malware. And for people out there that are wondering who's behind it, it looks like it's the Russians and Shocker. Also even the Turks.
Yeah.
The Turkish commercial surveillance vendor Pars Defense is also involved in this. And they're targeting people in Ukraine, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. So there you go. And they say the defense against this is to update to the latest software. So if you get to the latest iOS, you should be protected by this, but also enabling lockdown mode. It's just an added defense you could do. But if you do lockdown mode, doesn't it just defeat the purpose of having the phone itself?
Yeah, I think you lockdown mode is like a last resort. I don't know who or what.
Like you're not locking down like actively, like, you know what I mean? Like when you finish your phone call or you put it in lockdown and then pick it up in 20 minutes.
No, lockdown is like, I think lockdown, if I had to guess the technical sort of like method, I think lockdown prevents read write on a big part of the phone. So you can't access huge parts of the device. You know, you're not going to be looking at pictures of your kids or checking your fantasy scores when you're in lockdown mode, but you might be able to make a phone call or send a text.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think. But I mean, lockdown mode, as far as I know, is actually a prompt that the phone gives you. Like, you should be putting your phone in lockdown mode. There's something wrong here. This is a bit of a different story, although it's not, I guess, not too different because neither of these attack vectors really work against lockdown, which is nice. I think the thing, at the risk of sounding like sort of rudimentary here, who is not updating their iPhone that there's 220 million of these things that are not up to date out there? How is that possible? Like it takes all of like 10 seconds to update the phone. Maybe not 10 seconds. It takes like 5 minutes to update the phone. If you have an old phone that's outside of the security window, chances are you're not like, I don't want to say not important enough, but certainly you're like kind of a, you know, is it possible that you're kind of a broke boy? Like who they're going after your $60 in Coinbase? Seems like a waste of resources. No, maybe I have that wrong, but that's my sort of initial read on it. So I'm curious as to who the target is for this.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many of these devices are set up in a way that they only do the update when you have access to Wi-Fi, so they won't use your...
That is the default Wi-Fi. Setting now. Yeah, it is the default setting now.
And so that. People like that, how many people don't have Wi-Fi? They probably go to a public setting like a coffee shop or whatever and use that Wi-Fi. So that gap between getting access to Wi-Fi could be, I don't know, depending on somebody people use the app coffee shop, it could be just hours, but maybe it could be weeks before they... And maybe that's the ones they're trying to capture in this. I don't know, but it is a gap here.
Prediction maybe that next year with satellite connectivity and all the phones, which is the rumor, I say next year, later this year, whatever, 6 months from now, that there's an option to update your phone via satellite for safety.
It depends where you live. If you're in Northern Canada, you're going to be using the Canadian version of Starlink, which is costing us a pretty penny to set up too. And who knows how well that's going to work.
God, I forgot about that debacle.
It's down a Friday afternoon and then it starts back up on Monday.
That's right. Yeah.
You try putting a ticket in for some assistance and it's, wait 6 to 8 weeks.
Land acknowledgement before you connect.
Let's talk about this final story. Kash Patel.
It's just the final one. We've been talking for 40 minutes. So I don't know how I guess I forgot there was like 10 stories today. Anyway, go ahead.
It's only 33. We haven't been talking that long. It'll be 40 when we're done. And so Cash is saying at a Senate Intelligence Committee that they are returning to the practice of purchasing commercial location data for U.S. citizens.
Incredible.
Previously, just a few years ago, they said that practice was stopped. And now it's been reignited. They started it again. And they say they're doing it using commercially available information, whatever the heck that means. And they say this is going to jive with the Constitution and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. All right. Third parties, let's be honest, they've been collecting information about us for ages, right? Like, think of all the times you use any type of software, an app or whatever, and it's deemed to be free. Why is it free? Because you are the product themselves. Furthermore, you have companies like Google, like Apple, and even the telecoms. Again, we talked about it earlier, collecting the information. And the FBI is saying that information is going to be valuable intelligence towards their investigations, and their agency is going to love to get their hands in it. Remember, we had, you know, the dude from New York that threw that homemade bomb that failed to detonate. Where was the intelligence for that?
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. The shoot.
That's what I mean. This is the same as the C-22. You know, it's in the same vein. You know what's funny about this? This is the result of, or the response to, a 2018 Supreme Court ruling that said the FBI needs a warrant to get location history, right? And the FBI is going, well, we could get the warrant, or we could just buy the location data from the carriers because they're selling it anyway. So why don't we just buy it from them? And also, I love the idea of this, like, the word, using the word buy it as though they're experiencing an expense for getting this data. Like, who are we kidding here? They're printing the money. The budgets are unlimited at the FBI. And this is what they're doing with the money. It's incredible stuff, man. Incredible things are happening all over the modern world. The innovation never stops in law enforcement.
Well, I think they're looking at the Pentagon.
I still can't get a printer that works on as soon as I plug my computer into it. But if you want to get location data, buddy, I got all the innovations in the world for you.
I'm lucky. I have this one printer, this color laser printer. Literally, it must be 10 plus years old.
Yeah.
And it just works. I printed something just this week for the first time in forever, and it just works.
It's one of a kind, man. It's one of a kind.
And I'm printing from my Linux device too, so it's working flawlessly. But like, you know, when you're talking about the money printer that's just limitless, look at the Pentagon, $200 billion they're asking for. They must be looking at that. The FBI, these guys could get $200 billion by just asking. Let's try getting a couple.
Didn't they misplace like that much money the day before 9/11 or something, and then a plane hit the building? I'm pretty sure that's what happened, right? That's the official story.
The audits, there's what, 7 years of field audits with the FBI? Yeah. With the Pentagon, something along those
lines. I love that. God, I love record. The United States is the best, man. I love it. Okay, that's it. Good episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with my cracking voice. If you want more of this show, more of the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach, and accessofeasy.com, easydns.com, subscribe on YouTube, leave a like on the video, a comment on the video. We respond to all the comments, or try to at least. And we'll be back next week with more. Until then, take care of yourselves.
Take care.